Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
Murder, faith, and forbidden love collide in the gripping Wild West romance. Dr. James McPherson never expected his latest patient would steal his heart, but Madeline Flynn, survivor of the unspeakable tragedy, awakens something in the bounty hunter's soul. As he tends to her wounds, James vows to shield her from the murderer stalking her family. As their attraction deepens, dark secrets threaten everything they hold dear. When their pasts violently collide and Madeline is torn from his grasp, both must trust in God's plan to find their way back to each other. With a killer's shadow looming and their faith tested, Madeline and James must decide if love is worth the risk and if God's grace is enough to overcome the demons that haunt them. Will faith and love be enough to outrun the shadows of their past, or will the killer hunting Madeline destroy their chance at happiness forever?
Ooh, I was waiting for your ooh.
Yes.
Hey, this one is intense. Your cover. All right, so that is the limited edition cover, and then this one is the normal cover, which I forgot to mention when we talked about book one, that the girls on book one and two here are the daughters of one of my friends from work.
Oh.
And then her third daughter will be on book five. But here's the thing that happened. So her daughter's name is Clara. And the main character in this one is Claire. And then, and this happened while I was talking to her and I was like laying out the series. And then she has, this is her daughter, Madeline.
Oh.
Which is the name of my, and then I have, she has a daughter named Lena and I have a character named Lena. And I go,
how did that happen?
Never even put the two together. So then I was like, your girls are young and beautiful. They need to be on my cover.
Yeah.
So they were gracious to come dress up and take photos.
How
and
neat.
So yeah, so once we get book five out, we'll have all three of the doll girls on the cover. So
that's a cute little tidbit.
Saying that. So anyway,
my favorite cover though. I'm always like, oh,
that is like probably my new favorite too.
Yeah. I love
but
it.
But I also have had readers say like this one is their favorite.
Yeah.
So far. So I think Nikki does an excellent job creating. Again, that's our cousin. And her and I are starting a podcast that's going to launch, I think, in February. Just giving the author-illustrator perspective. Because she's been illustrating for like 20-some years now.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, okay, this is funny. I'm sad that Jessica had to leave us because
now it's just me.
Well, to talk about your book. That's okay. But I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, she's comfortable with my romance level in book one.
Yeah. Maybe not in book two.
I really think there was only like one
real saucy.
You did really good.
Like, it's not.
It's clean.
It's very clean. It's very. And it's not as intense as Jessica makes it seem sometimes.
I know, but that girl cannot handle high romance.
No.
Whatsoever. I think she just gets really embarrassed.
Yeah. We just like teasing her about it.
Oh, I love to tease her about it. But that scene, I wanted in there because I couldn't do a lot of high romance between Madeline and James because of her
condition
and recent abuse, right? Like, you can't, a woman who goes through that is not going to just be like ready for a lot of romance, you know?
Right. So, I thought you did really well with that.
Do you think? That's a struggle to write.
And it's very
that's sensitive.
Subject.
Yeah. And you don't want to downplay it and you don't want to overplay it. You know what I mean? It's.
Yeah. You did a great job.
It was rough. but
addressing it, and it was, and how to make that situation, to how to kind of turn it around into God's mm-hmm. plan. You did really well with that.
Thank you. Yeah, those are tricky. But I had a really hard time too being like super evil mm-hmm. like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I could see that.
It's hard to like, okay, but it has to happen. Unfortunately, it has to happen for this redemption
mm-hmm.
to happen. So
I was gonna say, where did you get your evilness from in the book? Your
I don't know. So like I've never liked Thomas Belange from the get-go, because mm-hmm. you know he shows up in book one, because that's Claire and Lionel's uncle, and I just never liked him, and I just every time I went back to him I thought, no, he is like filthy evil, mm-hmm. like he is evil, and so
yeah
he just kind of came out really bad. Okay, so I will say at the end of book one I had readers who wanted me to kill two characters. They were like, please tell me you're killing them. Mm-hmm. Like, he was one of them.
Yeah.
People didn't like him. So even more so in book two, I think.
Yeah, they wanted him gone. Yeah. Yeah, after that, I did too. Like.
Yeah. So I have to ask about, well, can I go back to that, the romance, the high romance scene I did with Brody
and Claire?
I'm
trying to find it. Cause I'm.
And I also feel like it's totally appropriate too, because they're married, right? And they want to have a baby so bad, but she's yet to get pregnant. But at the end, like, when James comes in, like, whistling and is like, hey, heads up, people are riding in from the range mm-hmm. kind of thing. And, like, she's all embarrassed and he's, like, completely relaxed. And and she's like, they're going to know what we were doing. And mm-hmm. and he's like, no big deal. And he says, I think the way I wrote it is he's like, everybody knows that we have sex. And she was like, oh my word, what? Mm. And he's like, yeah, we're married. That's what married people do.
Yeah.
I kid you not. That is a conversation that Derek and I have had. Like almost word for word, because I was like, women don't.
Yeah. It says, ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. Brody, we were, you know. Oh, I know, sweetheart. He looked at her with that charming smile and had her swooning again. Like I said, ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. God's word says we are to cleave onto one another and become one. And then he nuzzled her neck. And then what we just experienced in each other's arms was a gift from God for man and wife. Ain't nothing to be ashamed about. But the others are aware.
Yes,
I could just see it.
Everybody knows.
Honey, everyone knows. We're married. Everyone knows married people have relations.
That's right. I said relations.
Yeah.
So.
But then I feel like there was a part two where a junior chimed in. He was talking about the rules when there wasn't just a lot of rules, when just men living on the ranch. You know, he was talking about. And then something that he always says, sparking.
Yeah.
And I love that part about him.
Oh, yeah. Did he say, like, Paul was sparking Ma or something in the barn or something like that. Yeah. Yes. And then there's another scene later on with Junior where he's like, she's reminding him of his manners.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and not peeing on the post, I think was one of them. And he makes the comment like, oh, weren't so many rules when there were no women on the ranch,
right? Now we're mixed company. Like.
I love Junior. I love him. What do you think about Danny, Madeline's brother? So we knew a little bit about them from book one.
I felt like he was the deaf mm-hmm. child. So him and Madeline have their own, you know, I think bond there and everything that she was trying to protect him. Of Thomas,
mm-hmm.
But I love how he comes to the ranch and that he's protected, and then he becomes kind of the part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I feel like gets to be a little boy and gets to be a cowboy. And I love all the things that the brothers, you know, James got him the cowboy hat. I love that scene where they're just Madeline doesn't have to be the one sticking up for him anymore. Because I feel like everybody thought they were mother-son.
They did.
Yeah, for a while. And so for him to be a kid, I think, was good.
What did you think about Mrs. Wilmot?
Oh, I wanted to smack that lady when you introduced her in the story.
But like back then, a lot of those there people are still just got people put like into that. Asylums because they're like, oh, they're possessed or, you know.
And there's still people that don't understand disabilities and are just, I don't know, I like to say uncultured, but.
Yeah.
Or they just, I don't. I love how they kind of stand, they do stand up for her. And
yeah.
I love that scene.
Okay. Yeah. I do too. But I'm all, I love anytime I can make the men take a firm stance in a protective stance. I absolutely love it. So, and there's some danger. Poor Danny. She protected him, protected him, protected him. And then there becomes a time when she can't. We won't go there. But
yeah, I'm like, how do I see it without? Yeah,
there was just, there's an incident and unfortunately he got caught in the crossfires there. So. Mm-hmm. And what did you think? Okay. There ends up becoming a trio of boys on the ranch that are like just stair-stepped in age. Because, you know, Danny's older than Junior. And then we have another one that comes in that's.
It's around. Hard to say without.
So you can't say. We can't say. But we can say there's a trio of boys. What do you think about that trio of boys?
That I mean, that definitely surprised me. Did it? When you introduced all that. I was like,
shocking?
Yeah, Melissa. And again, on the wedding, like.
I know.
Melissa likes to, like, lure you in. You think everything's, you know, from the bad is, like, finally calming down. And we're going to get, like, a happy story. And and then, boom, baby.
I know. Like,
oh, yeah, that whole scene. I was like. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. No, no. And no, like, can't go through with this. But then it does.
And I had editors, proofreaders, and readers, when they hit that part of the story, sending me messages.
I remember you saying that. So I was, and I told you earlier, like, I was worried because Gramps is throughout the story. So I was really, really worried something was going to happen to Gramps.
Yeah.
And so then when I wasn't expecting that when we get to the wedding scene, and I was worried about Gramps, you know, in the back of my mind. So Melissa's going to kill off Gramps or something.
No, I love Gramps.
Because of that, you said your friend didn't want to read it. After that scene. But then you did that, and I was like, oh, okay, I understand. I understand where her friend was coming
from. Yeah. I mean, literally, yes. I got a text from my proofreader, and she was like, oh, no, you did not. I started laughing, and I told Derek, I know right where she's at in the story.
Yes. I was like, Melissa. And so what's funny is I started this book on a Sunday, middle of the day, and I stayed up till like midnight because I had to go to my niece's play, and I was so bummed. Like, I really wanted to watch her, but I also was in the middle of your book, so I had to stop at a point. And it was right after that scene. And I was like, okay, I got to focus for a little bit. Then I came home and Hans is like, you know, it's like almost 9. Are you going to go to bed? And I'm like, I have to finish this book where it's going. So,
that's so sweet of you.
So I texted you, I think, the next day because I didn't want to text you that late at night. Be like, Melissa, what were you thinking? I love how you pulled it all back together and made it into God's plan, but
still,
it was a little rough. It is to read rough. That other part too, because
I was gonna say, what about that other relationship that starts to develop? Did that make you go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because that character also had done that with Claire.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, what's going on with this guy? Like, maybe this is how. And I was like, no, she can't do that. But then you did that. And I was like, Melissa, like, where is this going?
I really, really threw people quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a few curveballs in this one.
You did. You did.
And I promise that that character and his
he will get a good
friends
story.
Will get their own okay. series.
I liked how you explained it, though, at the end with him and how he was just trying to do right by her. Yeah. I love that you explained that.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have that friendship now. But
yeah.
But
I think that if I had allowed that to go, that that would have turned into a almost like a what is that? Love Comes Softly kind of storyline. But
which is what I thought was going to happen with.
Yeah. With the yeah. I know. So but what did you think about Tom shooting at James? You remember that? Remember, James is like distraught and there's no hope. I'm done. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Thomas and I was like, where? What? No, but yeah. When you get your act together.
I know.
I loved it. Next time I won't miss or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, and Tom never
misses. I normally don't give warning shots or something.
Yeah.
So.
What did you think? Because there were some scenes.
But Jesse kind of did that with him too. Like, hey, you needed to step up.
Yeah.
So I did. Like.
Yeah. I know. But yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
We were waiting on you and you didn't come around. And yeah. Well, there were our scenes in Tom's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
In this, what were your thoughts on him?
He's an interesting character. I can't wait for his story, too, because I want to know his backstory. Like, why is he the way he is? Because he's just kind of take charge, no nonsense, like,
and you
in
know
that
the,
saloon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we are not messing with you.
That's right. And then I kind of get the vapors.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. He's the guy I want in my corner.
Yeah.
For sure. But then, you know, when they've got, he's interrogating the one in that little cabin. Did that bring up any, remember how he goes, look at my face, and the guy like blanches because he recognizes him?
No.
Oh. And then uh-oh. Tom in his head is going, okay, so my reputation still stands.
Uh-huh.
Not that he's like thrilled, but he uses it to his advantage. So you'll learn all about
more
that in
about
book
that
three.
Okay,
he's
okay
coming up in book three.
I mean, I just thought it was being intimidating, so but I knew there had to be some kind of a good backstory.
I think I put a little line in there
with the way you wrote him in some of those scenes.
But one of the things I'm finding is so many people were like, there's so many twists and turns in this one that I think, how do I
outdo yourself?
I'll do that in the next one. I think I will bring some shock and awe.
I think you did it in both books very well.
Okay.
Very well.
I actually really enjoy throwing in these like, what moments?
Right?
Like,
what?
What? I never saw that coming.
Yeah. Because you really, I mean, you knew everybody has a past, but like to have it just like, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But that happens, which is.
It's true. It's true.
And I kind of wanted to show like, so a lot of in book two is, I wanted to show two perspectives. One is because I hear this all the time, like, but you know, but I believe in Jesus now, but yet life isn't any easier and I still am suffering, right? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot. So I really just wanted to drive home the truth that he washes away our sin, but he does not remove the consequences because it's walking through the consequences of those sins that refines us, right? It's not fun, but when we've come to him and we're leaning on him, he gets us through it, but he also makes us so much better on the other end. And when we're on the other end, we can turn around and we see all these other people slogging through the same thing that we can then minister to because we're like, hey, been there, done that, right? So I wanted to show that, but then I also wanted to show that how our sins can hurt others and sometimes cause unintended consequences for them.
Definitely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I was trying to get across. that scene with Brody and James talking when things are pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a tear jerk.
Yeah.
Jerking scene for me. So, but I was just trying to. I love Brody's steady hand, though. Like, he's such a good friend for James, having them grow up together. But anyways, any other thoughts on that one?
You did such a good job. I loved it.
Thank
you. I can't wait for the next one.
You know
who
what?
Who is the next one?
It'll be next year. But I'm hoping early next year.
Who is it?
Get that out. Oh, who is it? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The next one is Tom and Bethany. So I always always like to put book, the whoever the bounty brother is for the next book, I like to put his POV, some of his POV in the book before. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To kind of introduce them to the readers. So
I'm excited.
Because you meet Bethany in book two.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the new pastor's daughter. So
mm-hmm.
It'll be great. All right. It's just you. So are you
right.
ready? Ready for the levels?
Ready.
Let's start with the mystery level.
Mystery level. Gonna go mocha.
I forgot to ask you. Were you shocked who the person was?
Yes. That's why I was going through the mocha, because it's always in the back of your mind. Like, mm-hmm. who is this person? Like, it seemed like there was a group or something behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's why I did mocha, because it wasn't like in your face, but it was always looming.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then little hints get dropped that make you go, what?
Right.
I had so many readers too say, I never saw that person coming.
Yeah.
And then I had one reader go, can we hear a little bit more and wrap him up a little bit more? I'm like, yes. In book three, we will wrap
him up.
Wrap
okay,
him
good.
Up. Okay. So we did mystery, right? So inspiration?
Inspiration. I'm going to go mocha too, because it's there throughout.
Yeah.
It's not in your face, but it's there. And it's you do there. A great job with it.
How about the drama?
I feel like there's a lot of drama. I'm going to do a latte.
Oh, my word. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to read it to find
out. I have to ask.
Because I don't want to give it away.
There's a lot of drama around a certain character, too,
mm-hmm.
that I introduce in a very, like, kind of way. Mm-hmm. Did you end up, in the end, like, feeling sorry for them? Feeling some compassion towards them?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because
it's really hard to introduce a character like that, at like claws out kind of character.
You did very well at making that character with their redemption,
mm-hmm.
and their coming to Jesus. I love that part about it. The other part, it's hard to say
because I
feel for the child.
Yeah.
Children that were left behind. Like,
yeah.
So that was hard for me, but mm-hmm. It was also kind of that, you know, the consequences of your sins in the past.
Yeah.
Coming mm-hmm. back. So, yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
Like I said, yes and no for that character because of those reasons.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It'll make sense when you read it.
It will make sense once you read it. That's
because
totally
I do
true.
Not want to give it away.
I know.
Because it's... Whew.
I know. I forgot to ask you, did you enjoy the turkey hunting scene?
I did.
Okay.
That was cute with the boys. Yeah.
I loved it. I was like, I ought to get some humor in here because we were at a point in the story where it was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So,
no,
okay.
You did a good job.
Okay, good. Yeah. We need some...
I would have teased Jessica more about that if she was here, but
oh yeah,
she's slacking. So.
She's slacking. She's back home sleeping from all her shopping. Okay, so we did. Oh, what is the suspense level?
Suspense. I'm gonna do. I don't know, espresso to mocha, because there mm-hmm. it's like it's there, but it's.
It's not. It's more drama driven,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
There's
some suspenseful scenes
mm-hmm.
Towards the end, but not like the. And at the beginning, I feel mm-hmm. like there was. But. Yeah.
What about the romance level?
Mocha. Because it's there.
It's there. There's really only one scene that gets kind of...
Yeah.
And that's between Brody and Claire.
Yeah, there was a scene there with Madeline and James. She's like touching his chest.
Oh, that was very at the beginning. Yeah.
She's like, what? That was like, ooh la la.
Yeah, that one was probably a little ooh la la. But but it's like I said, like there I couldn't. This is why
but
I
it
kept
wasn't
Brody
like
and
overly
Claire,
yeah
in there because I thought that's where I'm gonna get
your romance,
your high romance, because she's not gonna be ready for it. So I forgot about that. That's right at the beginning because someone's chasing her.
Yeah, but that part I was like, ooh,
Interesting. Okay, what is your overall lasso rating of Uncharted Trials?
If I could go more than three, I would. I really like this one. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Like that I said, I couldn't put it down. And I had to stay up late.
I'm sorry that it kept you up till
midnight. No. It was good.
That's
awesome. For good reasons, I will stay up late.
Well, thank you. Okay, and I just want to remind listeners that you can only find my books on my website, which is literaryscape.com, because I only do direct sales, mainly because I don't like the terms and conditions that Amazon and other places have. So that's where you can get my stuff, but you can also purchase ebook and hopefully audiobook will be coming soon. That's a big project to undertake. So that's taking me a little bit longer. When you're an indie author, it just takes longer to do certain things. So we're working on that. And like I said, we've got our t-shirts for Unwavering Faith, but we have more merchandise coming out. I did not make a t-shirt with Uncharted Trials because I thought nobody wants to wear that on a t-shirt.
You made the Bounty Brother.
Yeah, but we have things like we're working on creating a logo for the Circle 7 Ranch.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have things like that coming out soon. Pretty excited. We're also migrating to a new website, so that'll get rolled out. So the best way to keep up with me is actually my newsletter, which you can sign up for on my website, because I don't have time for social media. It just I'm not a fan of it. It takes me forever to create an image and get a post, and I'm working two jobs right now outside of this, so it's kind of crazy. So anyways, enough about me. Thanks for reading them.
Yes.
Thanks for your kind and encouraging words. And I hope
everybody
others
needs
enjoy it.
To get your book and read it. These series. Follow
along. So now everyone's begging for book three. So that'll be out next
I can't wait.
Year.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.